Welcome to the Small Nonprofit Podcast. As you, dear listeners, likely know, I'm based in Canada, and we are very lucky every year to have an incredible report on the state of giving that really does a sector check-in on what's happening. How do we look at, you know, the overall trends outside of our own experiences and use that information to make decisions and to be strategic in our fundraising? And that is what we're diving into today on the podcast. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman. And as I said, you're listening to the Small Nonprofit Podcast, where we bring you practical, down-to-earth advice on how to get more done for your small organization. You are going to change the world. We're here to help. So I'm really excited to welcome back to the podcast today's guest, Jacob O'Connor, who is the Senior Vice President of Charity Engagement at Canada Helps. And I imagine, especially for our Canadian listeners, you know Canada Helps. We love Canada Helps. And Jacob has been there for 6.5 years. But as he would say, nonprofit work is in his blood. And it's part of his sort of legacy, family legacy. So with that, Jacob, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Cindy. Thanks for that kind intro. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. And I always love checking in with you and having these conversations, because the giving report that Canada Helps puts out in partnership with Imagine Canada and Enveronix, two other organizations that we love, you know, this is really an opportunity for us. It's like a little touchstone to be like, okay, how are we doing? And I want to start by like, what I would call the not so good news, which I think is important to talk about, not only because we need to be aware, but also people I think are feeling it, right? Like, let's talk a little bit about how the sector might be feeling around fundraising these days, or what they might be experiencing over the last 12-ish months. Mm-hmm.
So Cindy, so I'd love to get into that. And I think for our international audience, you kind of halfway referenced, do you think it makes sense for me to intro Canada Helps just really quickly?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, okay. Definitely. We have, and shout out, I mean, to all of our international audience, this is still relevant because these are global trends. Mm-hmm. And I would say like half of our listeners, half of all of you are in Canada, and about the other half are in the States. So this is very much, we're your neighbors, and what's happening here is happening there too. But this is a uniquely Canadian report. So who is Canada Helps?
Yeah, so it's really quickly, just to give a little bit of context. So Canada Helps is also a charity. We're a charitable foundation here in Canada. And our mission is to increase giving through technology. So we operate a one-stop shop, CanadaHelps.org, where you can search for, donate to, or fundraise on behalf of any charity in Canada. And then we also build fundraising technology and offer it out to charities, and along with education, so they can level up digitally. So our mission there is to democratize access to effective technology and education in the charitable sector. So we've been around for about 22 years. And part of our mandate is also that advocacy piece. And we see the giving report as a really big part of that. So this is actually our fifth annual edition of the report. It's pretty crazy. As Cindy mentioned, this is done in partnership with Enveronix and Imagine Canada, two great organizations as well. And so this was launched really, the first edition was launched and still holds true today to, as you mentioned, kind of give key data-driven insights into Canada's charitable sector, what the giving landscape is like, what the sector itself is like. We talked a bit about this last year as well, but I think throughout the pandemic, as we know, for all of us, and charitable sector is not escaping that, it's been a tough 2 years. And I think this report actually takes on extra significance through these struggles. Mm-hmm. So I think, I guess starting with the not so good, and then we go to the good. I think maybe starting with the not so good, I think it's good to start with what hasn't changed. And if you've read previous giving reports, this is kind of trends that we've been seeing for quite a bit of time. Okay. So I'll start just talking about overall participation rates in the charitable sector. So back in 2006, 25% of Canadians claimed donations to charities. In the most recent year, in 2019, that number has dropped 6% to 19%. So overall, we're seeing a decline in participation rates in the charitable sector. When we look and drill down a bit deeper into that, what we have here, and if you've been following the giving report, this is not new, but what we call the giving gap. And this is essentially the fact that the older generations are taking on more of the burden of giving in Canada. And now the 55 age plus age group is actually giving at twice the rate, twice the amount of the 25 to 54 age group. So this gap is growing. And so as a sector, we need to think about when this generation no longer has the capacity to give, where are we going to be? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think from there, where we went to this year in the report. So what's a little bit more, let's say, new is the fact that the pandemic hasn't helped the situation. So we did a projection again this year, a further 2% decrease we projected in overall giving. So that's a 12% drop in giving over the pandemic, about $1 billion lost through this projection. Wow. Also into that, looking at both of those numbers, given the fact that this giving gap exists and looking at it through these age groups, we took a real focus on the generational differences in giving, which we can get into.
Yeah. Before we get into those generational differences, one of the things that obviously has changed a lot over the pandemic is digital adoption and people giving online. I mean, I remember at the beginning of COVID where people were wiping down their mail and isolating their mail before they brought it inside. And so there was, and people got more and more comfortable with technology in ways that they hadn't been before. So before we dive into the generational stuff, because there is there's opportunity, but part of that opportunity, and you know, this will cross over to that conversation as well, is digital. Can you tell us some of the trends you've seen and what people can expect there?
Yeah. So I think there's quite a few different things to unpack there. So I think in part of the kind of generational differences that we'll get into, we'll focus in on yes, online, yes, digital, but then break it down further into some channels. I think overall, we saw that in year one of the pandemic, that online giving was a huge bright spot. So in year one, Air Canada Helps, and we're a great sample for the sector as a whole, we saw 119% increase year over year in giving in year one of the pandemic. So, of course, this is not enough to make up for the overall losses that we saw from the kind of ending all the more traditional sources of fundraising revenue or even earned revenue there for many organizations across the country and I guess the world as well. But that 119% increase was big. That increase held up until March. And then because, of course, the pandemic started in March of 2020, then the year over year picture changed when we got to 2021. So the good news is that that level of giving held. So we didn't see losses from the previous year's giving, but largely remained flat. So online giving in 2021 was flat, maybe even a slight decrease that we saw in overall online gifts.
Awesome. And the good news is people who've gone online seem to be staying online, which is great. Let's talk about generational differences, because obviously the biggest thing I think that you've said so far is really that difference between older generations carrying the weight of, or that responsibility of supporting the charitable sector. Mm-hmm. But there's opportunity, right? This is insight that allows us to take action. So what do you want to see from our sector, and what's some of the evidence or data that you have in the report that can help organizations? You know, I always think of like sitting around a board table and trying to convince people to be like, this is the way to go. So how do we actually move towards that? And what signals are there that this is opportunity?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think probably a good place to start is to just dig into those overall participation rates and giving rates. So I mentioned that the 55 plus age group is giving at double the rate. And I think as a sector and as a society even, we've heard a lot about the capacity of younger generations to give, or the lack thereof. So I know we've heard a lot of reference to rising house prices, inflation, upper job markets, all of these different things, all of these different economic pressures that millennials and Gen Zs uniquely have, maybe compared to Gen X or boomers, let's say. But I think one thing that's interesting to look at is that the steepest decline in terms of all of those generations was actually with Generation X. So that was actually where the steepest decline in giving participation rates were over the period. So it wasn't with our under 25s or 25 to 39, it was that 40 to 54 age group. So this is interesting.
And maybe
I'd like to hear your perspective on that as well. I think that's a good place to start. And I think the other place to start is you ask, what can the sector do? I think there's really two parts of it. So this year, looking at this picture, we're not really seeing improving. This report was both a call to Canadians. So further than just education, providing insights, really we saw this report as a call to action that Canadians need to step up and engage with the sector and support the sector that gives us so much. And then on the flip side of it, now this is where we're going, is that there are things that you can action, there are things that you can do, and there is hope, there are bright spots. So let's get into that. So I think, first off, we talked about this a bit about this last year, and the notion or the concept of donating to specific causes as opposed to specific organizations or institutions, and how younger generations have a greater affinity to cause-based donations and support. So this also held this year. And we're seeing that our Gen Z and millennials have a way larger propensity to give to specifically environmental and social justice movement, whereas our boomers are looking at medical research, seniors, as you might expect, right? Across the board, and maybe in line with, because of the strain that we've been through in the pandemic, mental health was a top cause across the board through all generations, which is nice to see the awareness around that side of things.
Yeah.
But I think something to think about there for organizations is the way that we tell our story and the way that we engage with these causes is going to be very important to this next generation of donors. Mm-hmm. And so what is our position? How are we contributing to specific causes, and tying that into the stories that we tell?
Yeah. Right? Causes. And you said the word movement, which I thought was really interesting, and something that I feel like I've observed but don't have evidence around, which is we've seen a lot of movements over the last few years and lots of urgent requests. And taking that and not necessarily knowing which organizations to support in those times of, crisis, To me, that really dovetails with that idea of like, it's about the that movement or the overall cause and not necessarily specific to the organization. What have you observed in the numbers or in the data around giving toward like these sort of like big social calls to action?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that plays out like really with those younger generations. I think the group that may be surprising, perhaps not, where we saw the biggest growth in participation in net new donors to those that kind of cause-based fundraising. This is from Environics, different segments, is our downtown donors. So mm-hmm. these are younger, living in metro areas, don't have children, they ride the bus. This is the group where we saw that real affinity and propensity to give to social causes. Mm-hmm. I think really quickly for those that aren't aware of this kind of, I guess, offering or from Canada Health.
Go for it. I was going to say, we've had Environics on the podcast talking about their segments, which I think is, and then tell us about how the Canada Health piece.
Yeah, so we worked with Environics and used their segment. Well, they used their segments to analyze our data around giving to what we have dubbed as cause funds. So just really quickly, instead of giving to a single organization, for maybe younger generations of donors that do have that affinity to causes, or maybe aren't yet engaged in the charitable sector, as we're seeing in the participation rates. Instead of donating to a charity, I can donate to a group of charities. So I donate to, let's say, the Environment Fund, and there's a collection of 40 charities that are doing work in that area. So I donate to a cause as opposed to a specific organization. And yes, we're seeing that the downtown donors, our younger generations, are much more likely to be donating to causes in general, and then specifically the social justice causes and environment causes.
Yeah. And I think that as advice to organizations, especially small ones, which is our audience, right, it's really leaning into that, talking about how your organization is part of this bigger movement, right?
Yes.
So often I hear small organizations worry that they're not top of mind for people. And so these are opportunities to say, okay, like this overall issue or cause is top of mind. And like, hey, we're doing something about that. I see a lot of organizations step back when things happen in the world and they're like, oh, people should just find us. They're not finding you. So get out there and talk about your work. It's my advice.
Yeah. And I think on that note too, zeroing in into our millennial and Gen Z group. So from the research that Canada Helps has done here. So these are two really encouraging things. So the first one is that this group is much more likely to trust charities than our boomer and Gen Z. So the trust is there. They believe in charitable organizations and the work. The second part of it is that they are much more likely to want to be informed about the organization and the work that they are doing before making a decision to give, particularly Generation Z. So they want to, they trust, and then they want to get involved. They want to engage. Yeah. Of course, the propensity to give, the ability to give, I would say, is not always there. But 80% of the millennial and Gen Z group said that if they have the capacity to give, they will give. And this was much higher than Gen Z's and boomers. So there are different ways to engage with these folks. Yeah. They want to learn and they trust you. So it's about, like you said, telling that story and connecting it to a greater overall cause.
Yeah. I love that. And that is so hopeful. And I do see with my peers, you know, you mentioned Gen X is like one of those generations that doesn't have a whole lot of trust in the sector. And I definitely see that as a trend. We've lived through, I think, some bigger scandals, but definitely, you know, for organizations looking at opportunity, young people are they're there. And, you know, when they start, we always say, like, I love when organizations build a broad base of smaller donations, because that in the long term can be more stabilizing for it and help really grow the foundations of an organization as opposed to being overly reliant on one or two really big gifts. So there's so much there. And actually, I'm going to give an example with an organization that we worked with because I just saw, we just wrapped up working with them and saw these numbers. So it's a great example. The organization works with young people with learning disabilities in sort of like a suburban area in Ontario, and they never have run individual giving programs. And so we launched a peer-to-peer campaign that was run by some of their student ambassadors. And we ran a couple direct appeal campaigns over the course of the last 12 months. And their individual giving grew by like 90%. Now, it was small to start with, but they ended up seeing these young people giving and mobilizing in a way that they never would have expected. And for a small organization, basically going from zero to almost $30,000 in individual undesignated donations in year one is so amazing. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of hope, but you have to ask. Mm-hmm. So.
On that, right, like just to follow up on that, on the asking and perhaps the ways to ask. So I kind of want to dig into what for me was perhaps the most surprising, but also a huge area of opportunity for charities.
Yeah.
So we've talked already about the trust factor, the engagement. Of course, the data bears out in our research that, you know, our Gen Z is most likely to hit the streets and protest on behalf of the cause. They want to share on social media. Yeah, exactly. They're also extremely savvy, which is very interesting. Okay. Yeah. So, and I want to dig into this a little bit. So, we already talked, you already mentioned about online, and digital and kind of different ways of fundraising than the traditional. So let's go into a few different ones here. So first I want to talk about securities, which for me was one of the biggest surprises. So we're talking about gifts of stocks and mutual funds. I think thought about it a little bit more, it maybe wasn't so surprising, but of our panel in the last 12 months, millennials were the most likely to donate gifts of securities, so stocks and mutual funds, to charity, saying 11% had donated.
Wow.
This is double the rate of boomers.
That is surprising.
Extremely.
That's amazing. Yeah.
On first glance. But then also when I thought a little bit deeper about it, so, and I think I really wanted to bring that one up because I talk with a lot of organizations, my team talks with lots of organizations on a day-to-day basis that always thinks that their donors aren't going to donate gifts and stocks. And, you know, we can't set, it's not worth the time to set up one of those programs. And making assumptions about what the way that your donors can give and asking to give, see that happen all the time. But these millennials, so when I started to try to think through this and what I got to, and I'm thinking about, you know, my friends, younger friends, everyone's doing like self-directed investing now. It's a new thing. So people are buying and selling shares on their own, which wasn't a big thing even like 10 years ago. No. So these people are aware of how to do this. They're familiar with the financial implications. That part surprised me. So another thing here is that almost half of both Gen Z and millennials are motivated by their ability to claim their donations.
Wow.
50%. And so we're going to compare that to Gen X and boomers, only a quarter of each.
Yeah. Yeah.
So wow. Surprising, but also when you think about it, like this is a group that kind of with again, self-directed investing, all these things, they take their finances a bit more into their own hands.
Yeah.
And so that savviness is there as opposed to like more traditionally, I have a mutual fund, my bank deals with it. I don't really get involved kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. And they're, I would say rightfully so, like quite aware. I was going to say hyper aware of their financial situation because it is expensive for them to live in the world. Like,
yes.
I'm in Toronto, right? If you are not in the housing market already, it's really difficult. Like, all of these realities for millennials and Gen Z is like, it's they have to be a little bit more aware of their financial situation, and those tax credits actually yes. really make a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. I think the last piece here, or maybe two pieces, if I may. So really quickly want to talk on crypto, because here is, it's obviously younger, but of the panel, 6% of millennials, 4.5% of Gen Z had made donations of cryptocurrency, or virtually 0% of our Gen X and boomers had done so.
We missed the boat on that one. Yeah.
And there is, you'll hear some news soon about crypto from us, but I think that's all I'll say for now. But this is an area to definitely keep an eye on, I would say. And then lastly, Gen Z and millennials are most likely to set up monthly gifts.
Mm.
So, and I think, again, I'm thinking this through, it's like budget conscious, like you said,
yeah.
But then also I have Netflix, I have Spotify, I have all of these monthly subscriptions. This just makes sense. Like, this is just the way that I'm operating, right?
So set it and forget it. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Until my credit cards were compromised recently and I have to redo all my subscriptions. So that hurts. But yeah, that is absolutely true. Like, it is how we consume things now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. 100%. Jacob, this has been very insightful. And I feel like there's definitely some new things and new insights that have come out this year that, again, are relevant to our audience everywhere. Where can listeners get their hands on the report? And beyond that, Canada Helps does a lot of great stuff for the sector. Where can they learn about all those things?
I think the best place to download the report would be on our website, canadahelps.org. And if you were interested in our services, that would too be the best place. Cindy, before we go, do you mind if I just share a couple more things that I think are important for the, So we talked about kind of the picture that's been ongoing that hasn't been changing. So the decline of participation rate, the giving gap. We also spoke about the differences in generation. So this report, we see it as a call to action to Canadians and then also to charities to be able to segment, to speak to more of those causes, to not forget, like you mentioned, the smaller donors, and to diversify those revenue streams. We're talking about monthly, we're talking about securities, even crypto, but really making those available to this younger demographic, and all demographics, really. But I also just want to go back, and this is more on that call to action piece to Canadians. So with inflation, this picture for 2022 is not looking much better. And I just wanted to, although I don't want to end on a not so much a sad note, but I think it's important to get the message out there and to spread them, all of us to spread the message. We did a panel in December with Ipsos to look at the demands. I think we know throughout the pandemic, Imagine's data, half of Canadian charities have experienced rises in demand throughout the pandemic. In our panel, we saw that 11% of Canadians are accessing charitable services for their basic needs. This number, if the effects of inflation, the pandemic don't change, expects to go up to 26%, which is staggering. This is staggering. With charities already struggling to meet the demands and then the effects of inflation, we need to do more. We need Canadians to step up. And so wanted to send my love to all of the charities out there, because I know it's been a tough couple of years. And this is a message that we just want to get out there. We want to amplify that this sector needs support, even though the pandemic is coming hopefully to an end. Inflation is here. And yeah, it was a big drop over the last 2 years that we need to help the sector to recover from.
Yeah. I mean, we as a society, need this sector now more than ever. Yes. And it's going to be hard. So if ever there was a call to action to keep fundraising and keep doing your work, that's super clear. Thanks, Jacob, so much for sharing this. And again, for doing this consistently, because that really does help all of us have a bigger picture of what's going on. So
we love what you do. Thank you. It's always great. It's always great to chat with you.
And of course, to you, our listeners, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Well, folks, that's it for today's episode of The Small Nonprofit. I'm your host, Cindy Wagman, and this show is brought to you by The Good Partnership. As a reminder, if you want more resources around raising more money for your small nonprofit, visit thegoodpartnership.com and download our free fundraising strategy guide. I'll see you next week.